Welcome to the DuPage Vineyard Teaching Channel. Thank you for joining us.
Is this on? Hello? Can you guys hear me? All right. Well, good morning, everyone. What Dave just explained is he likes making people uncomfortable, getting them out of their comfort zone, really. But I accepted the challenge, and I'm very grateful for being up here today. You know what? Let's just start out in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to invite you into this service, Father, and ask, Father, that you would just open our eyes, our ears, our minds, Father, and make us sensitive to your word. And so, Father, as I talk to the whole body, Father, I would just ask that you would speak to us individually. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start off by asking you guys a question. The question is this: when tragedy strikes your world, the world that you've created around you, what do you do? What's your first reaction when something like that hits you? You know, when I asked myself this question, I thought it was an easy question. I thought it was just straightforward, but it wasn't. You know, I was born into Christianity. My parents are pastors, and they've been pastoring ever since I was born. And so one of the things my dad tried to instill in me and my brothers is that we have a relationship with the Lord. Didn't matter when we grew up if we ended up staying in the Pentecostal church that he was preaching, or if we became Baptists, or if I came to the Vineyard Church. What mattered most is that I have a relationship with the Lord and that I continue to strengthen that relationship. And so when I ask this question to myself, when tragedy strikes, what do? Part of me really wants to say, all right, well, you know what? I get down on my knees and I pray and I bring it before the Lord, right? That's the Christian answer. That's what I was brought up to believe, right? Have a strong relationship with the Lord. But then reality hit. You know, I felt God going like this. I don't think so. That's not you. And so I looked at myself and I said, you know, when tragedy hits, I shut down. I become very quiet, very focused, a little bit withdrawn. When I look at my body, I start feeling sick to my stomach, feeling weak. And so, you know, if I do get on my knees, it's not necessary to pray. It's because there wasn't a chair to catch me and I fell down. And so, you know, I know not everybody's like that. You know, I've seen people, they explode. They start screaming, they're yelling, they're swearing at the top of their lungs, right? And some people, well, they're not that verbal, but they're just as loud. They'll grab whatever's next to them and they'll start smashing things with it and then breaking it. You know, some people will fall back on comfort foods. They'll start eating ice cream, pizza, chocolate, right, ladies? You love your chocolate, right? Some people become passive-aggressive. And, you know, there's some people that just disappear. We had one lady in the church that we attended to before this. Very sweet, very nice, very, older than us. When she came to the church, she kind of just adopted us and adopted my kids. She became like a grandmother to them. And so in her life, at one point, there was a string of deaths. And after about the third one, she just disappeared. She just stopped coming to church. And I was kind of shocked. Because here's this very loving lady, very joyful, peaceful, kind of outgoing, took care of my kids, and then she just disappeared. And I thought, you know what, here is a strong Christian woman, and where is she? It doesn't really matter what type of response that you guys have. Even if it shocks me or shocks someone else here in church, it doesn't shock God, right? He's not surprised how we act. He's not saying, oh, look at so-and-so. He looked like a good little Christian, and now he's swearing, right? That would probably shock me because swearing really isn't in my vocabulary. I didn't grow up in that type of atmosphere, but it doesn't shock God. So the good news is this, that however we respond when tragedy comes, whether we're swearing up a storm and then the next breath saying, oh God, please help me, God's not shocked, and God will accept us right where we are. And so in Matthew chapter 11, there's a good example of a man who comes to God. And he comes to him just how he is. When tragedy strikes, he doesn't try and change his personality. He just comes to him in a bold way. So if you guys have a Bible or want to turn on your iPads, Nooks, and you guys want to follow me, it's Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. It says this. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in the towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard all about these things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Jesus told them, "Go back to tell John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God bless those who do not turn away because of me." Now let me start off by telling you a little bit about John and who he was. The Bible says that John was a man of the desert. He ate locusts and honey. So, you know, in today's terms, basically we would call him an outdoorsman. You know, he lived off the land. He was like that survivor guy that we see on TV, you know, that goes into the wilderness and tries to survive until he finds civilization. He was a minister. God gave him a mission. And the mission was to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah, right? So he led people to confess their sins and to turn away from themselves, and then he baptized them in water. He didn't have a home that he had to take care of. He didn't have a family that he was responsible for. He gave up having a normal life in order to spread that message that God gave him. He could go wherever he wanted to go, do whatever he wanted to do in order to bring this message. He had so much freedom, I think that's the main reason why he was such a bold speaker, right? He told people how it was. He wasn't politically correct, right? He just told people in like this in-your-face type of method. Now, let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, this is what happens. It says, "But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. 'You brood of snakes,' he exclaimed. 'Who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't say to each other, we're safe. We're descendants of Abraham. That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham out of these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to serve the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." So here are Pharisees, here are Sadducees, right? The religious men of that day, the top men, very respected men. And he talks to them like if they're just normal people. He talks to them without any fear. He says, "You know what? If you don't change your attitude, you don't produce fruit, then guess what? You're going to hell." All right? Maybe a little bit more. He says, "You're going to get thrown in the fire." But you know what? It's this bold attitude that he had that got him thrown in jail. King Herod, or he found out that what King Herod did is he went to his brother's house, seduced his wife, got her to leave his brother, and then come home and marry him. And so when he heard this, he spoke openly and publicly to everyone about this and against this. And of course, King Herod didn't like it and threw him in jail. So in a moment, here's John. It's free as a bird, right? Free to go wherever he wanted, free to speak however he wanted. And then in a moment, all his world was taken away from him, right? His world just wasn't turned upside down, but it was completely taken away from him. So what did he do? He called out to Jesus. But you know what? He did it in his way, right? He didn't just say, "Jesus," or change his personality and say, "All right, I know I'm bold, but Jesus, I'm so sorry. I just need your help," right? No, it says this. He says, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" You know, at first I thought John was questioning who Jesus was. You know, that he was doubting Jesus. You know, John knew through and through who Jesus was, right? The Bible says in chapter 3 of Matthew that John baptized Jesus. So in verse 15 through 17, it says that when John baptized Jesus, the heavens opened up, the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus as a dove, and then God spoke. He said, "This is my dearly beloved Son who I am pleased with," or who I have found great joy in, or who I'm proud of, just depending on what version of the Bible you're reading. Right, but John was there. He heard and he saw God's Spirit come on Jesus. So he knew through and through who Jesus was. He wasn't doubting who Jesus was. So what was he doing? You know, I think what he was doing, what some of us men do, right? He was calling him out. He was provoking Jesus to act. You know, we do it all the time, right? "Hey, pastor, I heard you can play basketball. Come on, let's go to the gym," right? "Are you chicken?" You know, that's what he was doing to Jesus. He's saying, "Jesus, aren't you the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Aren't you supposed to be the one that's coming to destroy our enemies? Where are you? Or should I go find someone else that can do the job?" He was provoking him to act. The one thing John has taught me right here is that, you know, when we're hurt, when we're scared, when tragedy hits our lives, we can come to God as we are. John came to him in a bold and in-your-face way. Right? He didn't change his personality. He came to him as he was. He believed, just like what every other Jew believed, he believed that when the Messiah was going to come, he was going to be like a warrior king, like King David. He was going to come, establish himself here, establish an army, and then come in and wipe out all their enemies. Right? He was going to become ruler over all the world, and his chosen people were going to rule by his side. He believed in salvation with destruction, right? Their salvation was based on killing off their enemies. And because he was in jail, I think he believed, too, that it was time for judgment. Jesus, where are you? Right? Take the axe to the root. Fire and brimstone, come down. And I think you could probably start with King Herod as well. Jesus, are you the Messiah that we've been expecting? Well, the short answer is no. He wasn't. You know, when we come to God, God comes back to us full of love and full of grace. He's not short with us. He doesn't say, no, you're wrong. Right? What does he say to John? He says, John, look, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is preached to the poor. Jesus came to defeat sickness. He came to defeat death. He came to defeat sin. He came to defeat the power of Satan. What he really came for is to establish that relationship between us and God, the relationship that was lost at the Garden of Eden. What he came for was to give us everlasting life, the life that was taken from us in the Garden of Eden. You know, Jesus says, he says a lot of things, but he said another thing. He said this, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to have kids to know what happens when they get hurt, right? What happens when they get hurt? First thing they do, their first reaction, Mommy! Daddy! Right? They're holding up their arms, come and get me, come and hold me, right? I've never seen a kid get hurt, get a cut, and say, oh, I gotta go to Mom and Dad. You know what, let me go over here, let me take a shower, let me put on new clothes, let me get dressed up, let me fix my hair, and then come and say, all right, Mom, Dad, you know, I need help, right? No one, I don't think ever is going to do that. But what they do is they come from outside, they're dirty, they're messy, they're smelly. Mommy, Daddy, come on, hold me. I'm like, hold on. Hey, let me fix you. Let me clean this off, let me, you know, fix the cut, put a Band-Aid on. And they're like, all right, I'm good. I'm like, no. You know, let's go inside. Let's take a shower. Let me get you cleaned up. Here's some new clothes. Let me fix your hair. All right, now you look presentable. Let's go. You can take off. Right? And that is really the natural way of doing things. So why do we try coming to God in an unnatural way? Why do we try coming to God in an other way than what we are? Right? We are the coming to him in an unnatural way. We're the ones that are saying, oh, I got a cut, right? I'm in pain, I'm hurt, this is what's going on. You know what? Let me get dressed up, right? Let me try and get rid of this guilt on my own. Let me try to somehow get rid of this sin on my own. You know, I've done so much in my life, so many bad things. I don't know how God's going to accept me right now. I got to do something first before I can come to God. But Jesus says, you know what? No, you're not going to ever enter into the kingdom of heaven if you have that type of thinking. You need to come to me like a child comes to me, right? We need to start thinking more simple and stop complicating things. We need to come to him as a child. We need to say, Daddy, I need you, right? All filthy, all raggedy, all smelly, right? Well, maybe I'll take a shower first. We need to come in just a simple way and enjoy our Father and let him love on us. Let him clean us up. Let him give us new clothes. My father said we need to have a relationship with the Lord. It's not based on religion. He would have liked me to stay in the Pentecostal church, Assemblies of God, where he now still pastors. But regardless, he knows that, you know what, it's not about religion. Religion is not going to save you when something happens. Religion is going to actually sort of condemn us, right? Religion is not going to comfort you. Only Jesus Christ will comfort you. I've grown in the church and seen so many fights, so many things over religion. When I first came to this church, this man came up to us, introduced, just said hi, started telling us about the church. I wasn't really paying attention. I was kind of listening and actually just looking around and halfway listening. My wife was engaged, with him and just kind of listening to him. And then I kind of think I heard him say he was a pastor of the church or something. but then we service started, and I see this guy come up here, and I'm like, he looks a little familiar. And then he started saying, yeah, I'm the pastor of the church. I'm like, really? And then he's wearing what he's wearing now, like shorts and a shirt. Right? But I grew up in a Pentecostal church. There's been a lot of changes in the Pentecostal church, but one thing I grew up in is that whoever stands up here, regardless whether they're the pastor or the board member, you wear a suit. When you come before the Lord, you look your best, right? But you know what? God doesn't care. As I sat down and I listened to Dave every Sunday, I saw that the Lord was present. I saw that God was moving in this church. People were getting healed. I got healed. People were prophesizing, and the Lord was moving in this church. God was alive. And so it didn't matter how David looked. And obviously, you see that I'm not in a suit. Right? I tell you what, though. I am very out of my comfort zone right now. Not only do I have to preach, but I was finding myself like, I need to wear a suit today. I need to get dressed up. But I didn't. Because I know that, it doesn't matter how I come to the Lord. Lord will meet me. The Lord will meet me how we are, and he'll come. So, I don't know if I'm really early or not, but worship team, you can come on up. I just want to give you guys an opportunity. I don't know where you're at in life, whether you're going through a tragedy or not, or just something small happened. But as the worship team leads us, don't worry about how this person is worshiping the Lord or how this person is coming to the Lord. Just do it in your own way. If you're like me, I am an introvert at heart. I'd rather be standing over there, minding my own business, not drawing any attention to myself. And so when I praise the Lord, my whole body, my posture, even my spirit and my mind and my soul might be yelling out, Jesus! But me, that's not going to say that in my voice. I'm going to be whispering in my tone, Jesus! Because that's how I am. So I encourage you, call out to the Lord and he'll meet you. The other thing, one more thing before I tell Dave to come up. I don't know if you need to say anything else. But what a kid does? They keep saying mommy, they keep saying daddy, and they will not stop until one of us shows up, right? And even then, they don't tend to stop either. But they keep going until one of us shows up. And so as you're worshiping, as you're calling out to God, as you're saying, Jesus, I need you. If he doesn't show up or whatever, you don't hear him, then there's a prayer team. Come on up and pursue it. And if he doesn't show up here, go home and pray again. Don't stop saying Jesus until he comes into your life. Don't stop saying Jesus until you experience him. Pursue him.
This has been a DuPage Vineyard Church production.